Okay, we're going to move right along here on the Mapu Bala Show. John Hansen filling in 1 till 5 a.m. and it's 1:17 on this Saturday morning. Obviously, the news that has dominated the headlines the past few days and into today here in Chicago was the Jason Van Dyke trial. Of course, the guilty verdict for second-degree murder today. We're going to chat actually with Brandon Pope. He's a reporter on the Jam, WCIU, which you know a lot of listeners who listen to me because I talk about the show all the time. I also work on that show. Brandon, how you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, John. Happy to be here, man. Thanks a lot.
What a long day for you. Obviously, that's not where our our true sympathies lies. But when I said it was Saturday morning, I just had sympathy for all those reporters. I mean, you guys have been working. You've been working hard on this story, man. Ever since 4 a.m. yesterday morning, nearly 24 hours, bud.
Well, yeah, it's been a long day. But here's the thing: it could have been way longer. I mean, this trial has gone quicker than a lot of people overall anticipated it would. A trial like this, a big murder trial, especially when it's the first officer in like nearly a half a century been charged with murder, you expect that to go, weeks for the verdict.
Right. And
we expected to be sitting there for a long time. This took a matter of 7.5 hours total of deliberations.
Were you surprised? I guess I can tell in the tone of your voice you were surprised, but you and I had chatted that, sometimes you get a Friday jury, not to say that that necessarily influenced the situation, but anytime you got a sequestered jury and they're coming up on a weekend, human instincts take over, and sometimes that jury wants to get the job done.
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it, and, there were a lot of questions in the media. All of us in the media were wondering, how fast will the jury do this, especially with the Chicago Marathon happening on Sunday? You got the sequester. They're held up in the hotel there. So, how much will that play a factor? They also understand the fact that the CPD is trying to ramp up security and make sure they have the resources possible. But I think overall, the fact that it was a fast verdict was right away a sign that this was not a good look for Jason Van Dyke right away. And as you heard from the jurors afterwards, they took the video into consideration heavily and made a quick decision based off that.
I wanted to ask about the tension throughout the trial. I heard the judge at the beginning of his remarks before the verdict was read discussing that the media had done a good job, had followed all the rules. Obviously, it's a tough trial to cover. What was the tension like in the room, in the courtroom, the days leading up to today and then today?
Man, let me tell you something. That judge.
What about him?
He deserves his own show. He is a character. He brought the energy. He is about the business. He tried to make sure things were snappy, quick, expedient. He demanded answers on time. And there was a tense moment today between him and Dan Herbert, the lead defense attorney, when it came to Jason Van Dyke and why he was absent from court for a moment yesterday. He threatened to revoke his bail, and he asked, "Do you want your client to go to jail?" He stood up and said, "Do you want your client to go to jail? I'll throw him in jail right now." And so, you have this energy and this big time enthusiasm and respect for this guy because he put so much energy into what he's doing. But overall, this judge, he's been quite a character. The moments in the trial and the courtroom have been tense. And when that verdict dropped, man, you could hear a pin drop.
It's interesting. There's nothing really unparalleled like the announcing of a verdict in news today. It's still one of those things where everyone gathers around the radio or their social media for that dramatic moment of the reading of it. I was hoping maybe, Brandon, you could expand on this. Right before the verdict was read, I wasn't watching on TV, but the judge, offered everyone a chance to, if they couldn't handle themselves or stay composed on either side during the verdict being read, that people excuse themselves. And then I heard him say thank you to someone. Did anyone leave the courtroom at that moment?
Yeah, a woman did leave the courtroom. The judge gave an opportunity for people that, were really emotionally invested in the trial to step away if they needed to, because he threatened. He said, "Hey, I'm not going to take any outbursts. I'm not going to accept any, shouts or, anything to disturb court. So if you need to step out, if there's a moment where you feel like, hey, this is going to be a really emotional verdict for me, I'm not going to be able to handle it, you're allowed to just leave court right now." He gave him that opportunity. One lady did. She was in the spectator section for the McDonald family. So we're assuming she was with them. But obviously, tons of tension behind this, tons of people really watching this verdict, and the city bracing for what's going to happen, and America overall, too. It's a big moment.
I wanted to ask you, I saw you tweet about this, and you got to follow Brandon on Twitter. Hey, what's your Twitter handle again that people can follow you at?
At BPOPE TV. B-P-O-P-E TV.
And that's what we call him on TV, by the way, BPOPE. So, BPOPE, I got to ask, I was on the radio or on WGN earlier yesterday during noon when we actually heard that the verdict would be read at 1:45. And I talked a little bit about the tension in the city, and I kind of had a moment's pause afterwards. I saw some TV reporters saying that the city is like a powder keg ready to explode. Did some people go overboard in hyping, I guess, what could possibly happen if there was a not guilty verdict? Is that wrong for people in whether it's radio, TV, online, to play this up as the city as a powder keg? Or do you feel that that was justified?
It's interesting, John, because I feel like given recent situations with police misconduct and big-time court trials, we're looking at Ferguson and Baltimore, what happened with those cases. It's understandable why people would look at that and be like, okay, there could be a, big-time riot, big-time situation here. When you think about Chicago and the city of Chicago, there's a lot of pride in this city, South Side, West Side Chicago. They're not trying to burn up buildings. They're not trying to loot CVS. There's not been a riot in Chicago since 1968. And I talked to a lot of activists, the Black Lives Matter president and many others who told me that talks of a riot or any violent protest was way overblown. They just felt like, the way it was said to me, if we weren't going to riot during the Laquan McDonald video release, then we weren't going to riot during the verdict itself. So,
right.
I think that played a big factor. I never considered for any measure that there'd be a riot at all. Because people in the city, they respect their city, they respect the buildings, the structures, the history. Like I said, 1968 is the last time there was a riot in Chicago. I think the people here, while the tension was real, there's that racial tension there, obviously, that anger towards many, police, the mayor, I don't think powder keg was appropriate because I don't think people were ready to burn things down.
Right.
And from everything I've heard expressed from activists, that was never the case. And it's sad because sometimes it's conflated that riots and protests on the same thing.
Right, and there's also protest versus demonstration. There's a lot of buzzwords going on about what people were afterwards. So I did want to ask also, because I imagine...
What happened today. People called what happened today protest, and they were just kind of demonstrations.
So I wanted to ask about what we saw afterwards, because we saw marches up and down Michigan Avenue. I saw a couple of people on the text line like saying, oh, well, they like the verdict, then why are they protesting or demonstrating? And I guess I wanted to ask, Brandon, if you could have gotten a sense, obviously everyone has their own individual opinions on the mood of those people who did still march down the street with their message. Was it celebratory about the verdict, or was it a sense of some relief? I think we've seen some cases where it almost looks certain in other cities where police officers were going to be found guilty, and then they found ways to get off, or rightfully or wrongfully. So was there a sense of relief that this verdict came the way that these people wanted, or was it celebratory, or was it a combination of both?
John, I think the best word for it was a sense of pride, a sense of maybe a finally this happened. I think people were surprised that this happened. The overall mood I was getting from people was that they didn't expect this type of verdict. And so when you saw the demonstrations downtown on Michigan Ave, you hear a chant of, hey, 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 goodbye. People were very much happy to see this, but the other tone was there's still more work to be done. William Calloway talked about how they are looking to do more with, targeting the police themselves, targeting the economics of Chicago, targeting where the funds are going in Chicago, and targeting the mayoral race. Obviously, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, he's announced he's not going to seek re-election. They called for him to step down. That's likely not going to happen, but you know, they're looking at who's going to lead us into the future, who's going to show up to the ballot box and, you know, decide who's going to lead us to the future. That's been a big part of the conversation. So the overall mood has been hope. I think hope is really the word, a sense of hope, but also a sense of there's more work to be done.
You know, I was chatting with Domati, our buddy Domati Pongo over here at GN Radio. I know you know him well. And listening to some of the clips that he had gathered. And, you know, from a lot of leaders of the protest, you know, we make these things such black versus white issues, not necessarily racially, but of course they fall down those lines sometimes. But I wanted to ask about the idea of a lot of leaders in the community were saying things immediately after the verdict saying, we know that there are a vast majority of good cops versus these rogue cops out there or police officers that do the wrong thing. Was there a lot of that discussion that you heard of that, yes, this is the right verdict, but even from leaders of the community saying, this is still not, we're not trying to put all police, you know, we're not trying to indict all police here.
Definitely. The prosecution themselves even said they hope that this verdict does something for police and community relations. You know, obviously, the Chicago Police Department has been really the focal point of what's going on here with the Van Dyke trial. The federal government themselves has really put the microscope on the Chicago Police Department, and there has been questions about the training methods of the Chicago Police Department themselves and whether the training methods they put forward for their officers are actually appropriate in terms of use of force and use of deadly force in particular. So that's really an important aspect when it comes to this. But there's still many people who feel like, hey, there's still good police officers out there. The prosecution really stressed that, and we've got to make sure we're working together and understanding that the good cops are good cops, but the bad cops have to be held to a certain standard.
Hey.
And obviously, the other thing, too, Fraternal Order of Police, they're pushing back heavy.
Yeah.
They feel like, you know, they made an interesting comment. They said, surgeons make mistakes. Surgeons jeopardize life. Surgeons kill people. But they don't get prison time. Not the prison time police officers do. So I thought that was an interesting comment.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming from them.
Hey, last question here, Brandon. We have a question that I can't take the phone call, Doc, but I can see out of Kansas City, so one of our listeners, wondering, and I know the answer, but I hope you could elaborate, was this caller wants to know, did the officer have the option to have a trial by judge instead of a trial by jury? Yes, he did, right?
He sure did. He had that option. You have to figure he chose a jury trial because of the makeup of the jury.
Right.
The makeup of the jury. You had one black person on there, one Latino person. The rest was white. And so in a highly racialized case, that would usually factor, you would think, in his favor based on the way the defense painted their argument. However, as we've heard from jurors, they based a lot of their decision off of what they saw in the Laquan McDonald shooting video. And what they heard from Van Dyke himself about what happened that night did not match up to what they saw for themselves in the video. And so that ultimately played a factor. And so for people that, you know, were concerned about the racial makeup of the jury, maybe a sign of hope there that maybe the racial makeup didn't matter. People just, like, looked beyond that, watched the evidence, and made a decision for themselves.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Manafort trial in Washington, where you had a couple Trump supporters on the jury who said they tried every which way to find Manafort not guilty, but eventually, you know, the evidence speaks for itself. And it does give you a restored sense of faith in the American jury system, that jurors, whether you agree or disagree with their ultimate decision, are at least able to take off their political, racial, discriminatory blinders, whatever their backgrounds may be, and look at evidence in case. And that certainly does give you hope. All right, Brandon, I know I need you to get some sleep, man.
Yeah, I need to get some sleep too, man. But hey, appreciate being on. Love talking with you, bro.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is a big moment for Chicago. I look forward to seeing what happens next. But this is history, not just for Chicago, but America's watching. This is the first time we're seeing a cop be held accountable for, you know, shots fired against an unarmed person. And this highly political time, and we're talking about all these instances where young black kids are being gunned down by police, you know, this is a very relevant, relevant verdict.
All right, Brandon Pope from The Jam, thank you so much for your time. Have a good one, all right?
Hey, thanks, man. Have a good one.
Man, all right. Brandon Pope, you can follow him on BPopeTV on Twitter. Great Instagram account, too, and does great work every day, weekday mornings, 6 to 8 on The Jam.